Okay, dear Dhamma friends, so we have come to the second question and answer session in this Kalalgoda English Medium Retreats. So I think we have a couple of written questions. We'll start with the written questions.
Venerable Bhante, I feel everything in life is a cycle. How our days are spent, how the digestion works, even how the meditation practice works. When I observe nature, even there everything happens in cycles. Sometimes these cycles gets me so bored, doing everything the same way every day. But even when I break out of a cycle, I realize I have only become a part of another cycle. There are no straight lines with a beginning and an end. Everything seems to be in cycles and there seems to be no way to break out of it. Bhante, I would appreciate if you could share your thoughts on this. Theruvan Saranai.
Yeah, actually there's a beautiful story happened during the Buddha's time. I'll share that with you first. One time, Buddha is going to, there was one Brahmin and I can't remember his name. Anyway, so Buddha is going on Pindapath to him. So he is somewhat okay to give a Pindapath and he will offer some food. Next day also Buddha going to the same place, so Pindapath. And he's a farmer and he's offering some food. Third day also Buddha is going to the same place for Pindapatha. And that farmer was little now reluctantly giving the food. Because this monk is coming every day. So the fourth day also now Buddha going to the same place. Now this farmer very much like got angry. So he's telling, so these monks are very bad people. Every day they are coming. So, and he's telling that why don't you, do farming and make your own food and rather than asking from me, every day you are coming. So Buddha is telling a beautiful verse on that. Punap punan jayati miyati punap punang sivatikam haranti. That basically Buddha is telling now I just put only two sentences. Now what Buddha is telling is now say for example cattle going again and again to the cow for milk. Today also he is going to the cow and tomorrow is going for the cow. Again, next day also going to the cow. So every day his cattle is going to the cow. Again, Buddha is telling farmers are farming. They again and again prepare the paddy field and again put in the seeds. Again, the crop is coming, cultivating. And again, next season also he is farming. Like things are continuing. And again, Buddha is telling, punap punan jayati miyati. So similarly, so we are also again and again, again and again, we are reborn and again die. Punap punan siyati kang haranti. Again and again, we are taking the dead body to the cemetery. So, magganca laddha apunabhavaya na punap punan jayati bhuri panyo. Now that is the breaking of the cycle. Now there Buddha is telling magganca laddha apunabhavaya. So when one understand the path for apunabhavaya, that is for the destruction of the rebirth, na punap punan jayati bhuri panyo, he is that wise person is not again and again going to rebirth. He is not basically breaking the cycle, because we are going on in a cycle again and again. We are getting to the mother's womb, and again we get the rebirth, and we are spending kind of a life, and again we die. Again we get into some place, again get a birth, and again we die. So again and again, this dead body is taken to the cemetery, and if one finds the correct path, the real path, and he will break this cycle, and he will not continue in rebirth, rather he will stop that. So what we can say is now, till we have this avijja and tanha, so that is the mother and father. Avijja is called the father, mother is called the tanha. So that is what Now, typically in Dhammapada, there's a beautiful verse that you have to kill mother and father. That is, mother is the tanha and the father is the avijja. Till you uproot avijja and tanha, so there is no breaking of the cycle. Now, there is another thing. Now, suppose even if we cut branches or even if we cut the tree from the upper part, still the tree will grow. Why? Because the roots are there. So similarly, Buddha is telling, till you uproot tanha, you will again and again reveal. Till you uproot it, again and again you will reborn. So we need to eradicate tanha, completely uproot tanha, till that we'll be subject to this rebirth. So there is no escape. So that's why, I mean, the bad thing is, so we are assuming a self where there is no self. So it's very difficult to understand. So we think that I am reborning. I am the one getting the birth. Something like that we assume. But when we really practice, and we maybe yogis can understand, we are creating self then and there. It is not that we are maintaining a continuous self, but intermittently we are making a self. So that if one can recognize, so when we create self, so at that instance you can feel some kind of unsatisfaction. When the self is created, when a self has arisen, then there is a little unsatisfaction rising, you can feel. There is a kind of a tension, maybe an unsatisfaction, maybe kind of a uncertainty towards the future, what's going to happen to me. So will I be reborn, or what would be my future? So did I do well in the past, or like that? Whenever there is some kind of a personal view arising, so it creates some kind of an uncertainty or some kind of a unsatisfaction. So we need to recognize these instances when I is arising, when the I is created, when the feeling of I is coming to the front. And we need to recognize it, and we have to eliminate that. We have to discard it. We need to disclaim it, telling it is not me, it is not I am, it is not mine. So likewise, we have to very much break the cycle. So the breaking of the cycle is actually by uprooting tanha and avijja. Yes. So if you are practicing Buddha's teaching, then you can uproot this cycle. And that is where one would get into a path where you are making very limited karma. Say someone is involved in vipassana, so he'll understand how not to create much karma. So he is putting his hand only when it is essential. Otherwise, he is just mind his own business. Bhante Dhammajiva frequently tell, no? Meditates and be mindful and mind your own business. So that is, otherwise if we are putting our hand to too many incidents or too many occasions, so we are burning our hand, we are making unnecessary karma where we doesn't need to. And if it is really coming to me, if it is really coming to someone, then as a cause and effect relationship, one would be able to recognize it. Otherwise, we simply have to mind our own business. So, and on the other hand, say if one is leading to citta anupassana, for example, and say when lustful thought arising, he or she knows this is lustful thought, and he is not promoting it, rather he is simply allowing it to fade away. Say angry thought is arising, he is not afraid of it, rather understand it and then simply discard it. Say loving kindness thought arise. Again the same thing. So we are giving equal value to both wholesome and unwholesome. So this is somewhere kind of a critical point, kind of a pivotal point where you give equal value to wholesome and unwholesome. Otherwise we typically give prominence or wholesome to develop wholesome, but once you practice meditation, you are reaching kind of an area where you recognize these are merely thoughts. I don't need to claim them as mine. So you recognize, okay, there are certain causes. Due to causes, these thoughts are arising, and you are simply allowing them to go away. So that way you are now slowly, slowly breaking the cycle. Yes.
I have been practicing meditation more than 2 years on daily basis. When I do Anapanasati Bhavana, I always coming to the emptiness very easily within 10 minutes. While in there, I get lots of experiences. If I can explain it to you, it will be helpful for me to clear my path. She wanted to talk to you.
Yes, sure, sure.
So, sir, when I do meditation, even walking and sitting meditation,
yeah,
I come to this emptiness like very soon.
Uh-huh.
But I don't like to stay there. I always get then I'm thinking about my, as you said, like I'm looking at my mind,
mm-hmm.
where it goes. Then I can realize, like as example, like if I get a pain in left leg.
Yeah.
So while I'm meditating only,
mm-hmm.
When I get pain on my left leg, so I can just look at the right leg,
mm-hmm.
which is not painful.
Yes.
Then I can forget that.
Yeah.
Like that.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I get like feeling like okay. So if something sadness comes to me, then what I realize everything is happening. Everything is thoughts.
Everything is thoughts.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where I can change it.
Right.
Right. So sadness comes, I know that I can change it to the happiness.
Mm-hmm.
Then sometimes the happiness comes.
Right.
I know that it's going to be, if I get a pain somewhere in my body, so it is going to change.
Correct.
Like that, the whole Correct. Meditation, I can feel the patavyapo tejo, it's
yeah.
changing all the way, it's
yes.
going all around my body,
right.
I can feel it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking at that, I'm thinking, okay, if something, if patavidhatu comes, I know that
right.
It is going to change it, right?
Right. Right?
Like that, I'm thinking all the time, even for meditation, walking also,
yeah.
When I see something, like if I, when my thoughts go outside, so I'm thinking, I know where it went.
Okay.
So I know how to get it back.
Right.
Right? I'm not sad.
Right. Right?
And even when I'm sitting and doing my sitting meditation, when my thought comes, I know which way it came.
Correct.
Right? When I open my eyes also, I know I'm looking at something. Then I remember how the reborn is happening.
Mm-hmm.
If I take it and put sanskara,
mm-hmm.
only I get nama rupa, vinyana, then I get the birth.
Whole cycle.
So I'm thinking my duty is to stop the sanskara. From sanskara only I can stop.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And sanyas, I feel like when I focusing the thing, only it's appear. That's been focusing. Is it a sparsha?
Focusing, is it a what?
Sparsha.
Function.
Sparsha.
Sparsha. Yeah, I mean, basically, once you divert or your attention to a particular object, that is the manasikara. So manasikara is the one leading for the sparsha. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if you are divert now, say you are simply scanning around a particular area, for example, without selecting any object. But once you stop and select something, that is where your mind goes and punch into.
Yeah.
So then the passa and the say chakku vinyana and all these things arise.
Yes.
And now you are again in a little tense situation.
Yeah.
Now if you are not selecting any of these things, then you are in a very relaxed,
free mind. Yeah.
Exactly.
So Sarnas, I just want to ask from you, like she explained yesterday,
right.
It's an emptiness, she enjoy lot.
Yes.
But I don't feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Emptiness is a small time, I get.
That you have to expand.
I don't want it actually, like. I'm like thinking and I don't know whether I'm correct or wrong.
Yes,
so I don't know where I am. So I just want to, and I really like to implement.
No, thing is, now this understanding is important, but at the same time, you have to familiarize this emptiness in the mind. So till you are familiarizing it, you can't understand even the value of it. Because we value something based on our own measurements, based on our own preconditioning. Say, if someone is recognizing me, if someone is praising me, then my ego is rising up. So then I am telling, oh, he's a good person. But if someone is condemning me and putting me down, then I am telling he's a bad person. So based on if my ego coming up, then I am valuing it. But in this emptiness, nothing is there. So there is no experience, no object to make you up or make you down. But it's the kind of the baseline. So basically, you have to associate it, then only you will recognize the value of it. Because based on that becomes the kind of the reference for your mind to evaluate another state. Say for example, say your mind is now picking up a particular object and grasping it. So this grasping creates little amount of tension. So this tension cannot be recognized if you haven't experienced a tension-free state of mind. So this state is actually tension-free. So the emptiness is tension-free. No association. And now when you are associating any particular object, that object conditions the mind. Say for example, you are looking at a red color. So more and more you look at red color, your mind also become very much like reddish. Say you are looking at blue color, so your mind become blue. You are look at green color, so your mind become green. Now if you are green and another one is blue, now you can fight. Green and blue fighting. Nowadays green and blue fighting. So very much like that. So more and more, I mean, whatever the mind associates, so the characteristics of that associated object slowly coming to the mind, and mind manifests according to that object. Therefore, Buddha is telling, so more, I mean, whenever you associate, it's a very dangerous. So therefore, Buddha is telling, don't associate anything. So that is why, I mean, any kind of kayanupassana, vedanupassana, chittanupassana, one result, kind of an in-between result is the anicitta state, where you are not associated, the mind is capable of lifting, I mean, standing by on its own, without associating anything, even not associating the body. Say you are practicing kayanupassana, and you are building up enough mindfulness, building up enough wisdom, and as a result, mind will let go of all the associations, all the objects. And by seeing the consequences, by seeing the disadvantages, and then it has its own freedom. So this freedom has to be developed. So this has to be expanded. So maybe actually today topic, Dhamma Sermon also, I have to cover a little bit on that. Buddha clearly says that. So basically in Mahasunyata Sutta, so Buddha says, okay, you have to, maybe you can use internal object, try to come to this state. You can use an external object, you have to come to this state. Sometimes successful, sometimes fail. So likewise, you have to practice this, familiarize with it. Then only you can maintain it for a considerable period of time. Say at the beginning you can spend only 5 minutes. Later maybe 10 minutes, maybe 30 minutes, maybe 1 hour. So likewise, once you are familiarizing it, then it will register in the mind. So then you can immediately go there. It becomes kind of the second nature of yourself. It is not actually the second nature, it is the first nature. So we are actually in the mud because of these defilements. But Buddha says, your real nature is not that. Your real nature is very pure. Pabhasaramidam bhikkave chittang tanchako agantuke upakkilesi upakritam. Buddha is telling monks, this real nature of the mind is very pure, very luminous. But because of this alien defilements, it is get corrupted. So, and when we believe Buddha, so far it is not. I mean, we may not really feel it, but we believe Buddha maybe is the correct thing. So we are trying hard to purify it. I mean, maybe you can get into that state temporary, that purified state, and that purified state you have to expand. When it is expanded, only you can recognize the value of it. Otherwise, it appears like very boring. Because, I mean, when you have sensual desire, it is the one always looking for variety. Okay, I need this, I need that, I need this, otherwise I am bored. So, it appeared like very boring. But more and more sensual desire subsided, and you are able to maintain this kind of a peaceful, kind of a even, kind of spacious state of mind, so you will recognize the value of it. So there is no tension, there is no association. Mind has its own purity. Now, when you associate something, if it is conditioning the mind, if it is not associating, no conditioning. It has its own original nature. So through vipassana, one can reach that state. Maybe temporary, doesn't matter. But you have to familiarize it, you have to expand it more and more. And then you can use that as a reference to recognize even subtle defilements. So what you are doing is correct and understandings are correct. But when you are in that unassociated state, try to expand it more. So because our mind never likes to stay just still. We always want to do something. We are big doers. We want to achieve something. I want to do this. I want to do that. I have to achieve that. So we are always in that drive. But here, we are just doing nothing. So that is something actually we have to properly recognize. Otherwise, we are always going, never ending. No, I mean, that cycle continuing, but we don't find out the escape. This is the escape. We have to break that cycle and find out this kind of a place where it is nothing is there basically. No sankhara. So can you maintain a kind of mind which is free from fabrications, free from defilements, free from any attachment, free from any say associations? So this is something we need to improve. Yeah.
So when I'm doing meditation, then when I get the feeling, like, then I have to forget it.
Sorry.
Then I have to forget it. I mean, I get the.
Basically, when you get the feelings, you have to observe them. More and more you observe them, so you have. The mind understand the impermanent nature, transient nature of each and every sensation, and that is a must to understand. So you can't immediately imaginary, you can't touch that. So you need fair amount of wisdom to develop in order to let go. The wisdom is the one letting go the object.
Right.
So you make understand the theory behind it, the logic behind it, that understanding is not enough. So the mind itself has to be educated like. So again and again, each and every phenomena has to be shown. So the real nature has to be understood by the mind itself. Then it will let go. Naturally it will let go. So Buddha saying, say, samahito yatha bhutam pajanati passati. So when you have fair amount of concentration, if that concentration is properly used, then it will develop fair amount of the real understanding. If the real understanding is there, then there's a kind of a dispassion arise. Yathabhuta jnana dasana nibbidatthaya. So where this understanding of the things as they truly are will lead to some kind of a dispassion. So now the details are not interested. It appear like beautiful, but the mind is not interested. Now it appears like someone else's. So you are sort of shifted from the experience. Things are happening, but in a separate manner. So you are in a distance. And the detail appear like blurred. So you can't recognize the real picture now. The detail appear like blurred. Now it's a kind of a dispassion arising. Like say, for example, you have a watercolor picture. And if you throw water to that watercolor picture, kind of a artwork, so all the fine artwork will simply discolor. So you can't find the real beauty in it. So now mind is not interested about that. So similar thing happened to the object also. At the beginning you are looking at all the features, all the fine details, but more and more you recognize the transient nature of it, how these each and every phenomena arising and passing away particularly. Now that's why, say, if you are looking at say dhatu manasikara, so you have to lead to a stage where each and every element arising and passing away. So if you are doing vedanupassana, each and every feeling arising and passing away. So this arising and passing away is one critical understanding which will lead to dispassion. Because if something is constantly arising and passing away, you can't find out constant happiness in that particular process. So the mind understand that and simply shift from that process. So slowly, slowly, mind will let go the whole process and it will find its own freedom, own kind of independence. So this is something we have to promote. So if you are observing these elements, so continue to observe. Now you can observe how they are rising and how they are instantly passing away. So that is quite important. Yes.
Venerable Bhante, I have been practicing meditation for a couple of years now. In my current state, I go to a place of nothingness if I just be during my meditation. If I try to focus on my movements of the feet during Sakman or on the breath during Paryanka, the entire time spent meditating is a battle to keep my attention on these and it is very tiring. During the past 1.5 weeks, life was somewhat extra busy and chaotic, which limited my time for meditation. When my usual practice, 1 hour of Sakman, 1 hour of Paryanka, and 1 hour of listening to Dhamma, gets disrupted, I find it difficult to maintain sati during the day. Therefore, I force myself to sit and focus on the breath or focus on the feet during Sakman to regain the focus. However, even when I feel my focus is not great, I see my thoughts come and go. I see how some thoughts dominate, adding to the chaos. This happens just out of practice. Bhante, with this situation, I seek advice on how to get back on track when I sometimes waver off due to the busyness in life. Theruvan Saranai.
Actually, basically for this, better to, rather than going to Kayanupassana or Vedananupassana, if you have already practiced fair amount of Chittanupassana, and you can look at the mind and allow it to calm down by itself, spending some time. So, because if you are coming, I mean, again going back to Kayanupassana might be difficult That's also not a bad thing, by the way. I mean, you have to again calm down yourself. You have to again bring back your attention. So, maybe instead of anapanasati, probably rising and falling might be useful, because your mind has to come to yourself. Say, for example, if anapanasati may be very refined, but rising and falling might be kind of bring your attention to the body. So that is one option. Another option is you can simply be with the nature and allow things to go on in the mind and simply sit back and look at it for some time. Because now there seems to be a kind of a tension is there in the mind, various incidents are there in the mind. So if you are immediately coming and using certain concentration practice to sort of eliminate them, so you are making some kind of an imbalance in the mind. So I mean, we do that at the beginning. Definitely, I mean, when you are meditating, you have some kind of an imbalance. So you are concentrating, thoughts are arising, but you are cutting them in between, like. But as we are moving forward, we have to allow them to naturally cease rather than interrupting them. So if you are able to do that, I think that is the best way. Then there is no tension remaining. So you recognize tension and you allowing it to cease by itself by recognizing them rather than interrupting them. But it may take long time. So may I know whose question is this? Yours question. Mm-hmm. Now you are again putting your attention to the toe, the foot, right?
Yes.
So how successful is it?
Not very successful.
Not successful.
Hamudunni, when I do that, so when my attention wavers off like that.
Sorry, so I can't hear.
When my attention wavers off like that.
Yes.
If I go back to my sakman where I focus on the feet, and if I go back to the breath.
Yes.
Initial days are very difficult. Like I'm constantly in a battle to try and keep the focus.
Right.
But then after some time, I go to a sleeping stage where when I start focusing on that, then I fall asleep during the pariyanka. But then after that stage, if I'm able to keep myself awake during that.
Yes.
Then I come to that state of again where I can be in just being, and then it will go into that nothingness again.
Right.
But it's like a step-by-step process to go there to get to that. But that initial state of it's a real battle to kind of keep my focus to through the feet and all of that, because what I'm usually used to is I just start walking and then eventually I go to that state of nothingness. I sit down and again I just be and I go to that state of nothingness.
No, actually, what I used to do sometimes is that just be with the nature and simply, I mean, allow these thoughts to go, and simply it will calm down by itself. Because it may take some time, by the way. So, because when we are interrupting them, some tension is still remaining. So, but when we allow it to cease, when we allow them to complete their own cycle, they have their own story to tell, and I am simply recognizing it, not promoting it, and they are completely cease. And then I am in a kind of a natural state where my mind is balanced. But when I am forcefully trying my heart to put again to the say details of the feet or again to the breath, so it may be a little difficult.
But on the day-to-day life, when I see this chaotic thoughts, it keeps coming and coming and coming, right? And then I keep getting dragged along with it, and I keep building up thoughts and all of that. But when it gets really difficult, my mind on its own kind of cuts everything off by a realization, saying that all of this is either future or the past and all of that, that this moment is better.
Yes.
The moment that realization comes, then everything is
back to peaceful, and
exactly. Really calm.
Yes.
So
actually that's why, I mean, better now, since you have gone through Kayanupassana, Vedanupassana, and now once you are coming to the region of Chittanupassana, if we can really manage through that is the ideal situation. But sometimes it would be difficult. But then without much focus, you can simply walk. You are walking, but without much focus into each and every detail. This walking really discards kind of the pent-up energy. You are simply walking, but maybe even looking around, but not picking anything. Not picking anything. So basically, as she said, so if we pick something, then we are locked there. We are not picking anything. Simply if you are scanning around, but no real selection, so the mind slowly starts to expand. Now say for example, you are looking at a particular direction, and if you are not picking that anything there, any object as it is there, so where the mind focus? Nowhere, basically. So you are looking very far and nothing is focused in the mind, and again you are doing that to another direction, to another direction, another direction, another direction. So mind has its own kind of a expanded view, where there is no any particular object as its own focus. So this way, these are kind of natural techniques we can use as we are growing, rather than simply focusing tightly on a particular object. So we have to focus tightly on a particular object only to understand its disadvantages, only to understand its arising and passing away, its constantly changing, its transient nature. So once you recognize it, no need of going back to understand that. So we better look at the mind itself. Why the mind get tensed? So we recognize, okay, now the mind is tensed, so I am now acknowledging that tension. So simply recognizing that tension, acknowledging that tension, and trying to be with it for a while, being little patient with that tension, And then simply little allow it to slowly go away. So that is more peaceful than immediately cut through that whole process by this kind of selected observation. But it may take time. That's another issue. So it may take several hours even to calm down. You need fair amount of time. Has your own seclusion. You can't do with others. You have to have your own seclusion, kind of a view where your mind is not interrupting, not agitating again, but calming down. So best is the forest, basically. If you have the privilege of being in a forest where you are looking at trees and the animals and all these things, so they are giving some kind of a calmness to the mind. And this slow releasing of tension is possible there. Otherwise, we are simply using various other techniques. Maybe yoga and all, that also may be a little useful, because those techniques also bringing your attention back to yourself. Rather than, each and every movement you can be mindfully watch, you can be with your body, and slowly you can recognize, okay, again now mind is with you. Not outside, but rather with you. So there now you can again calm down. Again, calm down and sort of be with you rather than concentrate on a particular place. But rather allow the mind to hang around within yourself, but not even focus to any object within yourself. Difficult. Because I mean, we can simply go for anapanasati or all these things. But then again, creating some kind of a cycle, some kind of a tension. So if you are able to maintain this kind of natural processes, so when you are, because I am not telling this advice for everyone, but someone who has recognized this free state of mind, so they have to practice this different other techniques rather than going through the typical looking at the anapanasati or looking at the rising and falling and understand these things. Rather than going in that cycle, we can go for these kind of allowing things to happen in their natural way. Because, in the Bojjhangas, Buddha is telling to develop Viveka Nisitang, Viraga Nisitang, Nirodha Nisitang. Nirodha Nisitang is this. So we are allowing it to naturally cease. We are not interrupting the process. So we have to be patient, by the way, till it ceases by it natural, in a natural way.
Like I said, when my mind on its own realizes, then it becomes very peaceful. Yes. Just that it's very short-lived. Again, those thoughts come. Again, yes. It realizes and again it becomes peaceful. Yes. But it's like very short periods of time. Yes. The thoughts keep coming. And
yeah, because, in a way, this is good thing. Because of your defilements, you get this tension. So otherwise, there is no way of getting tension on. Say someone is telling something, so I get tensed. Because I have some kind of a self-view within me, so it creates some kind of agitation in me, some kind of a resentment within me. So this is an opportunity to understand our own defilements. Why I get angry? So why can't I let go? So till you are holding strongly something, so you can't let go. Say something has happened in your office. Someone has told something which is hurting yourself. But if you can understand, okay, why simply I am creating a self? So, like that, if you can recognize through wisdom, so there is no point of holding kind of a strong personality here. So I am just letting it go. So that way we can kind of forgiving and all these different techniques can be utilized in a proper way. And then when we are letting go, then we are calming down. So till we hold, it will stay with us. But when we let go, when we recognize the fault is within us, we can't correct the world. The fault, we are the ones holding. We are the ones, we have the hooks to hold everything. So if we straighten the hooks, so we are not being caught.
So what I've realized is like this anger and attachment kind of things I'm able to realize very easily.
Yes.
But my problem is I'm always planning for the future, and all of that is where I get worked up actually. But with the Kamatahan you gave earlier where you said we momentarily build the I realize that it's on those moments that I get that tension.
Yes.
The moment when I'm able to let go of that I, I'm yes. so peaceful, I completely forget about the future and there's, I don't even have a question or anything to ask at that time.
Exactly.
But the, when I go ahead with that, I keep building up on that, that's when the tension comes.
Exactly. So this is an, actually kind of an understanding. So we need to, in a way, we need to recognize this unsatisfaction, this tension we are feeling because of creation of I. When I have to stand up, when I have to assume as someone, so when I have to be the first in the class, so it's all, everything creates tension. But if I'm just continuing in a very peaceful mind as the way things are happening and understanding the cause and effect relationship, and if I'm making less I, then no tension. So slowly, slowly we have to do that because we can't immediately get rid of the whole thinking of I or I making, mind making, all these things. We can't immediately let go. But when we understand the real tension, real uncertainty, real unsatisfaction coming out of this I creation, so that's a kind of a realization. That's a kind of a good understanding. And slowly, slowly we have to let go of that. So when we recognize, now that in a way, we recognize the unsatisfaction and then we recognize the cause of unsatisfaction, cause of tension. If the cause of tension is holding or creating I, then that is the cause, real cause. That cause has to be let go of. So that is the proper way of doing it. So we recognize the cause and that cause has to be let go of. So if the cause has let go of, then this unsatisfaction can't stay longer. So we already removed the cause. Again, mind will come back to peace. So I recommend that long plan than shortcuts.
Also, one other thing, so what I've realized is I find it difficult to find a balance between the home life and doing this because when I'm planning for the future, it's kind of needed for the life that I live at home.
Probably then, these sisters can help you.
But then when I let go of all of that and I'm very peaceful, I don't want any of that, you know. I'm very peaceful where I am, but it kind of feels wrong to do that because I'm supposed, there are some duties that is expected out of me.
No, I think, this is the kind of balance we need to understand. So we have certain duties, we have certain responsibilities that also has to be implemented. So how we can do our duties without getting tensed, without making an I, or without have issues. I mean, so it is not that Buddha simply spent his time or Arahant spent time totally in the forest. They were living with the others, facing various situations and gone through all the ups and downs in the life. So, but they were able to maintain the tranquility or the peace in the mind. So that is where, I mean, we need to understand why we are making problems out of the situations, out of the incidents in the life. So we have to go through that and then only we will learn. So actually even the last retreat in Nisarnavane, some are having enough time to practice. Now what happened is they continue to practice and they, like say for example, they have touched the anicitta state, the unassociated state. And more if you do sitting meditation, you can lead to higher concentration. But they don't like to associate others. They don't like to involve with various things. So they won't have kind of a very secluded life. But that does not reveal the defilements within them. That's a disadvantage actually. So we have to understand the defilements what we have, the shortcomings we have, rather than trying to suppress them. So the concentration really suppress them. So if you have very good, very high concentration, this concentration power really hides these defilements. So, but when you're associating others and we are involved with a lot of tasks, so that is the place where the real defilements coming up. So then and there you have to recognize them. It's a very practical thing. It is not that we have to meditate and we have to find our own cell and be there and cut off from the world. So we have to practice to come to some stage, and again we have to go back to the responsibilities, to the duties, and to move with the others. So then only the real picture coming out. So I am doing, say, hours of loving kindness. So if I am working with another person, immediately I get angry. So then where's the effect? So we have to understand the roots. So you simply by loving kindness meditation, you can't uproot anger. So you have to understand this anger. Now the anger is arising. How anger is arising? How I am conditioning the mind to make me angry? So that is why Buddha very clearly say, Buddha is telling, Lobho bhikkave na kayena pahatabbo, na vachaya pahatabbo, panyaya disvadisva pahatabbo. Rago bhikkave na kayena pahatabbo, na vachaya pahatabbo, panyaya disvadisva pahatabbo. So this is not easy. So people like to do a lot of loving kindness meditation, all asubha meditation, and all suppressing the whole thing. But where the real understanding or the when the defilements is coming out, if we can really, through the wisdom, we recognize this defilement. So that is the approach Buddha is telling. Panyaya disva disva pahatambu. You have to look at these defilements by wisdom again and again. Then only the strength of that defilement will reduce. It is not suppression. Rather, you recognize, honestly, you recognize, okay, still I have lust. Still I have, say, anger. So due to this, when I am moving around with these people, easily I get tensed. Easily I get resentment. Easily I get some kind of a frustration. When I am moving with these kind of people, easily I get lustful thoughts. So I have to honestly recognize that. So these are the natures within ourselves. So once I recognize that, so that recognition helps to calm down it little. So it's very difficult to explain, but this recognition, this real honest understanding, okay, there's a lust arising, there's an anger arising, and I'm looking at it, I'm being with it, and allowing it to fade away by itself. So now the real cycle is going on. Now the real cessation happening. I'm not suppressing it. Say anger arising, I'm looking at it, very difficult. I mean, when you are looking at face to face with anger, you are not promoting it and you are not making anger as mine. It is not my anger, it is anger. That is a basic principle in Chittanupassana. Sadosan chittan, sadosan chittan di pajanati. Mitadosan chittan, mitadosan chittan di pajanati. Saragan chittan di pajanati. So you recognize this lustful thought is lustful thought. It is not my lustful thought. This angry thought is angry thought. It is not my angry thought. And you are allowing it to cease by itself. And by looking at it through wisdom, then only we can simply reduce its strength at least for a while. And again it is happening, this strength slowly, 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 slowly reducing. So that is the method that we have to apply basically.
When we do mundane day-to-day things like yes. Walking, talking, washing, all of that, we are able to watch the thoughts very easily, right? Because what I feel is, in a very technical term, that the processing power is very less for those, so yes. Mind has enough space to look at it.
Yes.
But there are things that takes up my entire processing power of the mind. Therefore, I don't have sufficient space to look at it.
Yes.
So if I actually increase that processing power is where I feel that I'm able to look at it, because I guess it's wisdom or intelligence that I have to expand, where I'm able to actually see it also that way. But how I do it?
It's happened gradually. It does not happen immediately. So you now say, for example, a small thing. Say you are sweeping, where your processing power is not needed at all. So you can simply allow the body to sweep and you can keep the mind empty. No problem. Did you have this skill before? No. I mean, we are getting that skill to small task like that at the beginning. So where the less processing power, less mind power is involved. Now we have to go to another step. Okay, another place is there. You need little bit of processing power. Can I have that same open mind, same unattached mind in that place as well? So it's a kind of a gradual process. So we can't immediately come to the place where we can maintain unassociated, unattached, tension-free mind at every place. It's not practical. So gradually we have to build up. So it takes, definitely it will take time. Otherwise you can be an arahant immediately. Already an arahant otherwise. So understanding the path is one thing and developing the path is another thing. So that's why we have to develop the path. So Buddha categorically tells that no, I am not telling arahantship is possible immediately. I am not telling that we all are going to become arahant immediately or in this life. But we have to recognize the path. Once we understood the path, we have to walk the path. So this walking the path encounters a lot of incidents, lot of ups and downs. So we are face to face with the defilements. It is not that we are in a kind of a very blissful state every time. Sometimes maybe blissful, sometimes very difficult. So it's ups and down, completely up and down. So this going up and down itself is giving us kind of a strength to understand, okay, how these vicissitudes of the life are coming up, ups and downs of life are coming towards ourselves, and how we can bear them. It's a real battle. Welcome to the battlefield.
Most Venerable Bhante, during watching the in-breath, out-breath, I come to a calm state and then some thoughts arises. After that, the period is with no thoughts and no feel of my body either. However, during this time, I feel that I am falling asleep or very drowsy, but know for sure that I haven't fallen asleep. I have to take an effort to not to sleep during this time. This goes off for about 20 to 30 minutes and then I open my eyes. However, if I close the eyes again, I can immediately go back to the same stage. How to overcome this?
May I know whose question? Yes. Good. Very, very skillful. Once you're coming there, so what is the problem? You can't maintain it.
I can't maintain means, Bhante, I know I am there, no thoughts, but I'm not sure whether I'm falling asleep, but not.
Yes.
But still that drowsiness and thing comes. The entire, 50 to 20 minutes, yes. Like that. So,
yes. No problem. Because this clarity improves. So you can't expect the complete pure kind of a state immediately. It is also, slowly, you get the more awareness, more awaken feeling. So at the beginning, it's like, as you said, in a kind of drowsy and kind of a intermittent kind of thing. So it's a kind of mixture of awareness and mixture of emptiness, very much like that. But with practice, you will understand how I can be fully aware, fully awake, even when there is nothing is there. You are talking that place, right? So there is nothing there to be, nothing there to be aware. So how I can be simply aware there? Okay. So even when nothing is there. So say for example, when you start Anapanasati, for example, when the object becomes subtle and subtler, we might fall asleep. Because it's very difficult to maintain the mind, no? So object is very subtle, very refined. So easily we go to sleep. But through the practice, we come into a stage when even when the object is very refined, we are fully awake. So then it completely disappear even. And then still you can be awake. So likewise here also, there is nothing to be aware, simple kind of an empty nature, and we fall asleep. And again and again throughout the practice, you will be able to maintain awakened mind, kind of awareness without anything. With time, you'll be okay. Yeah. It's okay. Yeah.
Reverend Bhante, in walking meditation outside the premises, get distracted due to the various beautiful singing and birds, etc. Which is the best way to come back? listen for a while and without getting attracted, get back to present moment, or immediately turn a deaf ear to birds and concentrate. I want a longer period to be in the present moment.
Enjoy and come back. why you need to be very dry? Spend some time. I mean, because you know, there's a beautiful sutta where Buddha was asked how he has crossed the floods. So he is telling, I haven't struggled, and at the same time I was not sluggish. If you struggle again, you will be washed away. If you are sluggish, you will be drowned. So similarly, we can't be entirely dry. I mean, if you are making it extremely dry, then it's very difficult. So you have to have some mild kind of a attitude. Yeah, you are allowing things to happen again. Now you are going in the path as well. So that way we can have a balance. Otherwise, very difficult to maintain kind of a balance. Up to you, by the way.
Venerable Bhante, in Satipatthana Sutta, after Passambhayam Kaya Sankharam, after the Kaya Sankhara ceases, then it says, still to observe the breath. For example, Chitta Patisamvedi Asasissami Sikkati, etc. Please clarify.
Yeah, so basically, now in Kayanupassana section, as it says, Passambhayam Kaya Sankharam Asasissami Sikkati, the fifth stage is Piti Patisamvedi. Piti Patisangvedi Asasissamiti Sikkati. Next, the Sukha Patisangvedi. Then the Chitta Sankhara Patisangvedi. So, this Patisangvedi means that you recognize this rupture in the body or rupture in the mind. So, you recognize the happiness in the body, happiness in the mind. But in the background, breathing happens. So, if you lost in these observations, say this rupture arising and it may be very blissful, if you lost there, you can go back to Anapanasati, to recognize in the breathing. Breathing is now in the background. Your primary object becomes this understanding various feelings. So that is in the second section, Piti Patisangvedi, Sukha Patisangvedi, Chitta Sankhara Patisangvedi, and Pasambayan Chitta Sankharam. That four stages, Buddha says, is a Vedana Anupassana, where the feeling is the prominence. So you give Anapanasati, the breathing, as the secondary process, but you give more recognition to the feelings. It may be kind of blissful feelings, it may be kind of lightness in the body, you are having various kind of rapturous feelings in the body. So you recognize them, and they are also coming and going. It is not you are being caught to them, rather you go out of them and looking at them in a objective manner. They too are objects of the meditation now. Say, kind of rupture arising and it is also passing away. Kind of a feeling arise, kind of happy feeling arise, that also passing away. And you are out of it. You are looking at it objectively. So therefore, breathing secondary. Breathing is there, by the way. So as a result of Anapanasati, this whole process is happening. So nothing to worry. I mean, even though the Asasissamiti Sikkhati is there, so the breathing process is in the background, but you are giving more prominence to the feeling there. And the third stage, Chitta Patisangvedi. Now you are looking at the mind, but assume that you get lost there because of some attractive things happening. Now again you come back to breathing. So breathing becomes the kind of your safeguard. And you again establish mindfulness. And again you further, if you are all right, now again look at the mind. Chitta Patisangvedi. So like that. Yes. So that's all. Yeah. So that's all the written questions. If anyone has any verbal question, we have some time. Otherwise we can wind up the session. Okay. So please, sir. No, I can't hear.
When I'm doing Anapanasati, it is very difficult for me to focus. Always my mind goes away, always either so sleepy. But when I'm doing walking meditation, I enjoy it. I like it.
You like walking meditation?
Yeah.
Good.
But when I'm sitting here thinking, I feel either drowsy or try to pay attention and then goes away and totally in somewhere else and suddenly realize, I'm sitting here.
So that is the way where you start. Everybody started like that. So don't worry. So I myself started like that. So it is not not something that we immediately come to very sort of high state. Slowly, slowly. It takes years. Don't worry.
Okay.
So if you think it is happening within a day, it will never happen. It will take years.
Okay.
So it's a very natural process and take time. Taking time is necessary because it's like growing a plant. So if you are trying to put too much fertilizer, it will die.
Oh.
So when you are allowing the plant to grow naturally, it will have the proper growth. If you are trying to artificially make it grow immediately, then it will not go through the whole process.
Okay.
Similarly, meditation also, you go through the natural process. It may take time, nothing to worry. Your mind distracted again, and you are coming, bringing it back and putting it.
Okay.
Main thing is don't be angry with you. So, I mean, it's the nature of the mind. Our mind is not properly trained to be in this particular very monotonous kind of an object. Because this breath is it's not something agitating, no. It's not something beautiful. It is not something attractive. So the mind likes to go to some attractive objects, attractive incidents happen in the past or projected to the future. Those are attractive. But breath is very, very neutral. So therefore, again and again, you have to bring it back to the breath. Mind going back, going to various distractions, you recognize it after several minutes and again bring it back. So your duty is not to make any tension out of this. So don't think that, don't believe that it will happen immediately, and again don't blame yourself. Okay, I'm wasting time, or my mind is not behaving the way I like, or something like that. Slowly, again and again, you bring it back. Again and again, you bring it back. And when it is there in the breath, you beat wholeheartedly, completely. Try to see more and more details. Try to see the beginning, how it is changing, how it is disappearing, when it is there. But it will again go out. Again, you recognize it after a couple of minutes. Again, you are coming. This is the only way. So it will take years, nothing to worry. But if you are happier with walking meditation, it's a good thing. Because walking really helps. And if you are able to develop some amount of happiness, some amount of calmness in walking meditation, continue more walking meditation, no harm. No problem at all.
That actually I feel like I don't like this meditation.
Sorry?
Because
you put the mic.
Like, I feel like I don't like Anapanasati.
No, I mean, when you are successful in walking meditation, you bring that develop mindfulness to your sitting. So some amount of development already happened in walking,
yeah.
And you bring that develop mindfulness to the sitting. So there you come back, don't immediately look at the breath.
Okay.
Rather you come back and now you recognize, now you are sitting, you are not walking. You were walking, now you are sitting.
Yeah.
Now you give, understand, okay, now I feel some calmness, I feel some comfort. When comparatively to the walking,
yeah,
the sitting is much comfortable, no?
Okay.
So some comfort is there in the sitting. So you recognize this comfort available in the sitting posture and develop some kind of a happiness. Some happiness out of that feeling. Because the mind has to be happy in order to develop. If you think I am a failure, I can't do this, I am depressed kind of thing, very difficult. I have to have some kind of a happiness, some kind of a satisfaction, some kind of a calmness, and then mind starts to develop. So you are doing well, nothing to worry.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, then we'll wind up the session. Thank you very much for participation, and we'll have Dhamma sermon at around 4 p.m. Yeah, thank you very much.